turn to Matthew 16 tonight. Praise God, and the Lord bless each and every one that's made an effort to come tonight. The Lord bless you. And it's good to come to the house of God. And the Bible says, gather often as you see the day approaching. And we heard this morning of the day we're living in. Praise God. Let's read then Matthew 16 and verse 16 to 18. Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood have not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which art in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. This last bow our heads for a word of prayer. And if you request again tonight, just slip your hand up while our eyes are closed. Praise God. Loving Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you tonight for your mercy and for your grace. We thank you, Lord, that we can come before you. And you are a God that hears and answers prayer. We were afar off. But Lord, what a tremendous truth we heard this morning. That it's because of grace that we're Christians tonight. God's grace, your unmerited favour. Lord, we do come before you tonight pleading the merits of the precious blood of the Lamb. I cast down all reasoning and all vain imaginations and every thought that would assault itself against the knowledge of Christ the Lord. I cast it down in the name of Jesus Christ. And ask for your thoughts and your thinking and your spirit to be amongst us tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ. And ask for the hands that's raised that you'll meet every need, that you'll answer prayer. You know what's on the hearts and the lives of the people. You know what they need tonight. I pray you'll meet every need, Lord. For we're asking it in the name of Jesus Christ. And Lord, you promised no good thing will you withhold from them that walk upright before you. Forgive us, Lord, our shortcomings, our failings. Cleanse us, Lord, we pray, and sanctify us. And Lord, I pray you'll fill us afresh with the Holy Ghost. And I take the promised Holy Spirit in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. I know this is a well familiar portion of Scripture. And I know I've mentioned these things before, but I'm going to mention them again. I feel led to. I feel sometimes it's like my dad said, and talking to another minister today, and he says, you know, you can preach something several times and there's never a word about it. And a stranger could come and preach the same thing. People will go to him and say, we've never heard it before. It's great. Now, really, that's not the fault of the preacher, either preacher, either way. That's the Holy Spirit. Many's ever heard a message and you've never forgot it. I could tell you what James McConnell preached and that our Philip could see it. I can tell you what he preached tonight. Jenny could see it. There's certain meetings I remember Brother John preaching a message a long time ago. And Gary's mum was in that service. I remember that night. And he preached on turn ye from your wicked way, for why will you die, O house of Israel? From Ezekiel. Remember the night he preached it. There's certain sermons you'll remember, and there's other ones you'll never remember. So I suppose if God wants you to remember it, he will remember it. Is that right? But Peter here was a man inspired of the Holy Spirit. I want to tell you that from the start. A man inspired of the Holy Spirit. And the reason I'm preaching this tonight, my dad mentioned this morning that there's no such thing as, they're not churches, they're lodges. Because there's only one church. And we're going to see tonight there's only one church. One church and you can't join it. Handshaking doesn't bring you in. Book signing doesn't bring you in. But there's only way, one way in till it has been born again. And it's no preacher that calls this church, but it's God that calls this church. And not only does God call this church, but it's God that sets this church up. So God calls it and God sets it up. Therefore, he's ahead of it. Christ is ahead of this church. Now I'm not talking us here, I'm talking about the universal church. Now I hear people saying, we're no longer a church. That's not really scripture, you know. When people say that, when William Branham said, I don't call you church, I call you bride, you have to understand what he's saying. He's not saying you're no longer a church. Because you are a church.
Amen.
Church means called out ones.
Yes,
and Israel was not called a church until God called them out. But after God called Israel out, you know what he told Abraham? We heard Abraham mention this morning, and we heard where Madame said every time that Israel turned away from God, God judged them. But the Lord always brought them back, because he loved them. And you know the scripture says, if I forget you, shall I forget my own right? Uh-huh, in other words, how many knows God said that? He'd never forget them. He brought them back. Even though they sinned, even though they've done all the things, God brought them back. Because he loves the backslider. Amen. God loves the backslider. And church here means called out ones. Israel was not the church of God until they were called out of Egypt. And when God called them out of Egypt, they became the church. Now that still remains the same in God's word today. You can't change it. So God calls us out. Some of us could have been in a denomination. Some of us could have been in the pub, but we both needed called out wherever we were. Because Egypt's the type of the world. How many knows that?
Yes.
But God calls us out, and God calls us into the true church. And the true church is not a certain name. The true church is the church of the firstborn. The church of God. Now let me just tell you this. The word church means it calls out ones. In the Old Testament, the church was called the kingdom of God. God is a king and the church is his domain in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, it's called the Messianic Empire. So in the New Testament, the church is called God's Messianic Empire. And he's a king over that empire. It's a messianic empire. Him being the messianic. How many knows what I'm saying? It's not a denomination or none of them things. There's no barriers in the church or lodge or organization. But the people of God called out of a world to serve in another kingdom. God's mystical body bride. We are subjects to King Jesus. Now you remember, if I go back to my scripture to start for a moment, you know that William Branham's the only man I ever heard making a statement on that scripture he made. Because you heard the Catholics say that the rock's Peter, and the Protestants say the rock's Christ. And William Branham came along and he said they're both wrong. How many knows he said that? And you say, well, how could that be wrong? He told it was wrong. Because he said, you see, it was the revelation that was given to Peter that the church was built on. What was it that made Peter know who Christ was? The revelation. God gave Peter the revelation by inspiration that he knew thou art the Christ. Now Christ is the rock. We're not saying, and William Branham wasn't saying Christ's not the rock. But what he's bringing out is the revelation of knowing that Christ is the rock. No man, you know, you can't come to the Father, tell the Father, unless he draws you, you know that. No man can come to me except my Father draweth him. No man can know him, save to him whom the Son will reveal him. So it has to be revealed to you that Jesus is the Christ. And a lot of people say we're Christians, Christ the rock, and they're not saved. Because Christ's never been revealed to them.
Yes.
And what David Nash was saying the other week, he said the Pentecostals made tongues the evidence of the Holy Spirit. That's not the evidence. It's a gift. But it's not the evidence. You might never speak in tongues and have the Holy Ghost. Do you know that? You don't have to speak in tongues to have the Holy Ghost. But you can speak in tongues if you want that. I'm all for speaking in tongues, by the way. I want you to know that. But you see, when the Bible says in Acts 2:38, repent every one of you and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, singular, which is the new birth. Being born again. Not talking about one of the gifts of the Spirit. The gift of the Holy Spirit is eternal life. How many knows that? The gifts of the Holy Spirit comes with the Holy Ghost. But you see, when the charismatics And that young girl explained she knew priests and different ones have spoken tongues. One nun says it revolutionized my prayer life to the Virgin Mary after she spoke in tongues. But they never had a personal experience of being born again in Jesus Christ, even though they spoke in tongues. Now, I don't know whether tongues were real or whether they're false. They might have been real, they might have been. But William Branham said he's seen devils drink blood out of a skull, speak with tongues. But they weren't real. They were false. How many knows that? There's false tongues, you know. But there's real ones. Amen. It's been born again in the Spirit of God. And as I said on Wednesday night, you know, when I went into the shop, I never said to the man in the shop, I want a pair of tongues. I said to the man in the shop, I want a pair of shoes. And the tongues was in the shoes. A fella said to me one day, says, are you Pentecostal? I says, I am. Says to me, when did you ask for the tongues? I says, I didn't. And he says, how many gifts have you? I says, all of them. You say all of them, all of them. Are you going to say you have none? All of them. He says, have you all of them? I says, because I've got the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost can give you any gift you want. All 9 gifts. Give the giver. And the gifts is with the giver. And here's another thing. God does not take gifts back. There's no such thing as lost in the gift. Anybody, anybody believe that? Gifts and calls are without repentance. Praise God. Now, I'm not here to talk about gifts really tonight. But you see, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. God revealed to Peter. God revealed to Peter that Jesus was the Christ, and God must reveal to us. On any teaching or anything, except the Lord shows us, we'll never know it. How many believes that? Look at Acts 7, verse 38. Now, this is talking about the church. This is he that was in the church in the wilderness. Are you hearing this? Acts 7, 38. This is he that was in the church in the wilderness with the angel which spake to him in Mount Sinai. We know that's the angel of the Lord. And in your Bible it'll be a capital A, which means God. It's not just an angel. It's the angel of the Lord. How many knows that Moses met with the angel of the Lord God? Met with God. Amen. Met with him in Mount Sinai and with our fathers who received the lively oracles to give unto us. So the church was in the wilderness. Amen. So there's always been the church. There's a church in the Old Testament. God called them out and they became the church. And God calls us out. And he calls us in. And he's calling us up. Come out. Come in. Come up. That's the call. Praise God. Then Christ is the head of the true church, the messianic kingdom, where Christ rules in every heart, and the life born again of an incorruptible seed. Christ rules in your heart. He rules in your life. When you're born again in the Spirit of God, you can't die. You say it physically. What about it? This is only a veil anyhow. You'll drop this. How many knows you'll drop this veil? Now, I can't explain it all. God will take you the way you are, like the brother John said in Singapore, the people there were wondering, how would they go? God will take you just the way you are. But he'd change you. Now how all that's going to be done, I can't explain it, but I can tell you, the word of God says, this corruptible shall put on incorruption. God's going to change us. But you can't die when you're born again. The born again person doesn't die. Now that's the sad thing when you go to a funeral and you know the person's never been born again, they are dead. And not only are they dead, one day they're going to come up and stand judgment and they're going to face the second death. And the second death, no power over the believer. Aren't you glad tonight you're born again? Amen. So Christ's the head of this church. I want to stress that again and again. There's no such thing as any particular man being the head of the church. That's all wrong. Christ is the head of the church. And Christ alone. He's the head. Not a bishop or a pope. Jesus Christ the head. God's people is called out people. You cannot denominate or organize a kingdom. So when you say, well, they're denominated here, well, then it's not God's kingdom. You can't organize it. You cannot denominate the Word of God. People can denominate, people can organize, but the Holy Ghost moves on. How many knows that? Now, we've saw people saying they're not a denomination, and then you find out they're about the biggest one you can ever see. How many agree with me here tonight? They say, we're not a denomination, and they're the biggest ones. How many knows that's the truth? The bigger the ones are condemning. And they're preaching another gospel. Oh, but you have to hear brother so-and-so, or you can't go on the rapture. Absolutely false. You have to receive Jesus Christ to get into this mystical body. And when you are sealed with the Holy Spirit, Ephesians says, you are sealed onto the day of redemption. Praise God. So you're made it. Amen. A fellow said to me, but you must believe the message. He quoted part of what William Branham said. If you don't believe the message, you'll not go. And I said, which interpretation? That's not what he said, you see. But people quote that. That's the evidence of the Holy Spirit believing the message. That's only part of what he said. He said, believe in the message for your day. The word for your day. On the life of Jesus Christ living through you. The life of Jesus Christ living through you. Then you know you've got it. It's not tongues. But if the life of Jesus Christ is living through you, I'm going to tell you this here, and I'm sure you'll agree with us. You brothers that do speak in tongues. If the life of Jesus Christ is living through you and you seek God enough, God will let you speak in tongues. I believe that. Because it edifies you. And why would God not want to edify you? And why would you not want to get to the Spirit? Wouldn't you want them?
Yes, amen.
Amen. We want all the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Praise God. I told you last week I went to the hospital and all the rest of it with this ear. It was bad for over a week, not just a couple of days. Almost completely deaf in this left ear for over a week. I thought it was wax. I got oil, put it in it every night, warmed it, done all the wee tricks, what every different person told me. Warm the oil in the spoon, warm it in water, did all them wee movements. Now that is good, that will cure an ear with wax in it. Well, it doesn't, but I ended up in the hospital anyhow. Didn't cure my ear, right? And I ended up in the hospital and the doctor looked into it and she said, there's no wax in your ears. Your ears are clean. But she said, there's blood in that one ear there. There's blood in it. She says, you've damaged your eardrum. And I got prayed for on Sunday night. And it's walking across the field on Monday morning at 10 to 10. I looked at the watch. And all this noise started going on in my ear. Mm-hmm. An operation must have took place. And I could hear perfect. Just like that. Mm-hmm. And it's got better ever since. And I believe it's God. No. I don't know exactly what was wrong with it. But I know the Lord touched it. I know that. Praise God. So God's a healer. Amen. See, there's gifts of healing. Amen. In the church. Do you know that? Amen. That's one of the gifts. Aren't you glad there's gifts? Amen. This is what the full gospel is all about. All the gifts. Amen. You can't say you're a full gospel preacher if you don't believe in gifts. Did you hear what David Nash said? He said that some of the organizations, the message church condemn, at least they have the back room, which they didn't have. Now you know what he meant. William Branham told them to operate the gifts. Those of spiritual get together in their room and operate the gifts. But what they did was they didn't do that either. They threw the whole lot out. The majority of them. He never said to do that. How could he? How could he say to do that? How could William Branham be the messenger of the last church age? How could he tell you to do that when he's preaching what Paul preached? He couldn't. Because Paul preached common earnestly the best gifts. And Paul said, forbid not to speak with tongues. And I know he said, yet I show unto you more acts than when he saw him with love. And then everybody jumps on the next bit and said, that was his perfect come. And they say now, that was perfect come. We have the full truth now, that was perfect come. The Brennan preached that 100 years ago. That's not a new doctrine. They've been preaching that for years. How many know that? The Brennan said, this Bible's perfect. It has come. This is the written word of God, so we no longer need gifts. That's what they preach. I know all amongst them. I know what they preach. And they don't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And if you spoke in tongues, I won't name the organizations, but they'll throw you out. They'll actually tell you to get out. Now, why would we want to sit amongst something that would throw us out? We've already been through out, by the way. We've been through out before. That's why he calls you out. Out of the dog denomination. Into Christ. Not into... God doesn't bring us out to bring us into something else. God brings us out to keep us free. And it doesn't matter if it's called message, it could still be a denomination. The word's the only thing that doesn't denominate. The word of God. And we know William Branham preached the word of God. And we believe the word of God. So Christ the head of the church. Listen to this. 1 Corinthians 12:13. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. So you're baptized into one Spirit. So the Spirit comes on you, you're baptized in. You're baptized into one body, into one Spirit. Now when God puts you in, who can take you out? They can't. If you're in, no man can put you out. So if somebody comes and says, you have to hear brother so and so, or you not be in, you know he's a false prophet. They ever tell you that? There's no scripture for that. You have to hear the Holy Ghost. You'll believe. Wouldn't you believe if you're the Holy Spirit? Wouldn't you believe what comes from God? Doesn't the Bible say that our spirit beareth witness with his spirit, we are the sons of God? How can the Holy Ghost, William Branham says, won't deny himself? So when you hear someone that's the Holy Spirit, there'll be a witness within you. The inner witness. You know, that's when John Wesley got converted. He says he got the inner witness. That's how he knew. Ephesians 5:23 says, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. So Christ's the head of the church. The Bible's... People have got to see, you know, where they're afraid to use the word church. How many know that? They're afraid to say, we're a church. The Bible's full of quotes that we're a church. Now, if you're part of the bride, you're still the church. Where do you think the bride comes from? The bride is the true church. I've just read you. I'm going to read it again. Now, I want you to get this. Ephesians 5:23. For the husband is the head of the wife. That's his bride. But now she's his wife. Even as Christ is the head of the church. And is the Savior of the body. So Christ's the head of the church. And there's going to be a marriage. Now, there's already a union. And Brother Branham talks about... secret union. There's a union that's already took place. How many knows that? Have you had a union with Christ? I have. He's living in me. He that's in you is greater than he that's in the world. You're in a union with Christ. You're in Christ. Christ, even so as I am in you, Father, let them be in us. That's what he said. So you're in him and he's in you. There's a union. So you're part of the church. The true church of God. And he's coming for that church. Let me read this here. Now where did this organization start out then? Jesus, when he was on earth, never organized any church. He spoke of a coming church, but he never organized any church. There never was a church organized for hundreds of years after the death of the last apostle. And the first organized church that ever was on the earth was the Roman Catholic Church. Now I have the prenient and father's book, Foxe's Book of Martyrs, excuse me, the writing of Josephus, Pember's Early Ages, many other great ancient writers. Nowhere has it ever written any on any of the page of history where there ever was an organized church until the Roman Catholic Church was organized and it became an organization and was contrary to the Word of God. Now, as soon as it became an organization, what did they do? They baptized the three titles. That's what they did. They brought in three titles of baptisms. We heard about this morning. But the early church didn't do that, because Peter in Acts 2:38 preaches what was in Matthew 28. Repent ye therefore every one of you and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, fulfilling Matthew 28.
Yes.
He gave you the name.
No.
Not just the title. Jesus said, do it in the name. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the Lord Jesus Christ, in Acts 2:38. You see Peter doing it in the name. I'm almost a Methodist minister. I said to them, I said, here's the Bible. I said, you've been to college for 4 years. You're a very educated man. You've even got doctor in front of your name. I said, show me one scripture. One. Were any of the disciples or the apostles, after Jesus Christ rose and went back to heaven, and the Holy Ghost was poured out, show me one verse where they ever baptized using three titles? He couldn't show me one, for there is none. Not nowhere in the Bible. It's man-made. It's not God's word. So the church was organized 325 AD at the Nicene Council of the Church. That's when they organized the denomination. They made a denomination. An organization. And then they started to set themselves up bishops and all different sorts of stuff. Now bishops are true scriptural word. And there is bishops. But they went too far with it all. And then you see the Pope as a successor of Peter. That's what he claims. Mm-hmm. And we know he's not. And he claims he's continuing all the apostolic succession. That's what he claims. But if you notice, it's only continuing with him. I want you to get that bit. But my Bible says the promise is unto you.
Amen.
The book of Acts. And to your children, and to them that's afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. So when people say you won't get the Holy Spirit today, like they did, that's contrary to the Bible, which I've just quoted you. Because the promise is unto you and to your children, that's those he's talking to, and their children, and to them that's afar off, that's me and you, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And Paul the Apostle comes along and he says, we which were not a people, that's the Gentiles, are now the people of God. And the casting off of Israel is the bringing in of the Gentiles. And when God brings the Gentiles in, when he's ready to take them away and to catch them up, God will turn again to Israel. Because he can't forget them. Just like in the Old Testament, he always turned back to them. Even though they disobeyed him. They were blinded. Paul actually said they were blinded for a season so that we could come in. So we're in the age of grace. And the age of grace, for God in his grace has opened their eyes that we see the gospel of Christ and can conceive and receive the Holy Ghost and be part of the true church, born into it, but not organized. Now if such a thing was coming, and I wish I could get this over to you, if such a thing was coming, it would it not be such a great antichrist? Should not God foreknow it? And if he's the infinite God, if he's infinite, would he not know that these things were coming? And if it's such a horrible thing was, would he not warn his church beforehand? Now I hope you have a better understanding of why I strike, not at the people in the organization, but at the organizations and the dispensation. It can be nothing else but Antichrist in every one of them. What about today? Mona, what about today? When people are saying, we're baptized in the name of a man. Is that Antichrist?
Yes.
That's worse than what he's talking about.
Amen.
How many knows that?
Amen.
That's absolutely Antichrist.
Amen.
I'm telling you. You can baptize in no other name but the name what Jesus Christ said in Matthew 28.
Yes.
The name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, the Lord Jesus Christ. Acts 2:38. Acts 10. study it all up. You can read it all through the book of Acts. You see, the book of Acts is a book you should read. That's your New Testament book. That's what the Spirit of Elijah came to bring us back to, the restoration of the apostolic faith.
Amen.
Now the Pope's taking all the apostolic succession. Why is he not bringing back the apostolic faith? Okay? It's Antichrist. Anti-word is Antichrist. How many knows that? If you're anti-word, you're anti-Christ. The Pope can't bring back apostolic faith because he doesn't have it. He's false. But God sent the Spirit of Elijah to bring us back to the apostolic faith, which is the book of Acts. How many knows that? Now the Lord cannot bring you back to the book of Acts and then say, I'll tell you what. See, the way they got it and the way God moved within won't happen to you like that. That's what people are preaching. How many agree with me here? People are preaching you won't get it like they got it. Well, that's wrong. You'll have to get it the same way. God will not give you it no different. He'll give you the Holy Spirit the same way I always give it. How many believe that?
Amen.
Amen. Look at Revelation 17, verse 3 to 6. Revelation 17, verse 3 to 6. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness. This is John. And I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. And the woman was a red and purple and scarlet color and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls. Now we know the woman in the Bible represents the church. But you remember there's a true church and a false church. And this is Rome here. How many knows that? Not in time tonight, but how many's ever heard the statement, the scarlet woman? How many's ever heard that preached from that text, the scarlet woman? I preached it myself. The scarlet woman, Rome. Amen. Look at verse 4 again. And was the red and purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations of the filthiness of her fornication. Verse 5. And upon her forehead was written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots, and the abominations of the earth. So she's got daughters. She has daughters. So this is basically the mother church that has birthed out little baby daughters churches. But there's still one true church. The rest of these are all false. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints, with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. That's Rome. And Rome has 68 million in their own martyrology. 68 million. Can you hear that tonight? 68 million that they've admitted to. I told the fellow one day I was working with him, and he said, I wouldn't believe that. That couldn't be right. And the very next night the television had come out apologising. Admitted to it. And you know that William Branham, when he preached the church ages in the scene, showed you and told you that them daughters is the Protestant churches. Where did the water baptism come from in three names? Rome. Who copied it? All of them. Amen.
Amen.
Let's not forget these things. That's why God does not call you out of a denomination to get you to go back into one.
Amen.
Now whether it's one what they preach against or one that's amongst, but it's still wrong. Now when they say amongst, I'm talking about the message, what's run of the day, the stuff that's false. I'm just going to talk plain tonight. I hope that's alright. God doesn't take in it. Okay? Come out from amongst all of it.
Yes.
To the word.
Mm-hmm.
If one's wrong, the other's wrong. I'm not talking about the genuine stuff. It's the genuine stuff. It's the genuine. How am I going to know? Because of what they're preaching. They don't speak according to the law and the prophets. The Bible says there's no light in them. And when they're trying to tell you there's another way to be saved, and there's another way to receive the Holy Spirit today different, you know that's wrong.
Yes.
For the Bible says that there's only one mediator given under heaven whereby you must receive Jesus Christ. And you receive the Holy Spirit the same way they did. Believe and ask for it and get it. Amen. Now it's been poured out, we know that, and I often say that, and I believe that. Mother of Harlots, that's her right here. We know a woman in the Bible that's symbolized here called church. Didn't Paul say, I espouse you to one husband? 2 Corinthians 11 verse 2. 2 Corinthians 11 verse 2 says, for I'm jealous over you with a godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may forsake you the chaste virgin to Christ. And the Lord wants us to stick with the one husband.
Amen.
Doesn't want us to wander after someone else.
Mm-hmm.
That's fornication.
Yes.
Spiritual fornication.
Amen.
How many knows there's such stuff? You always notice in organizations where natural fornication comes in, spiritual follows it. I'll tell you what, there's a certain man in a certain denomination made that statement himself one night in a program. And he was right what he said. They asked him, they said, how come in the Roman Catholic Church there's so much of this child abuse and stuff going on? And this man, a preacher, he said, because you see, the spiritual fornication started with false doctrine led into the natural. That's true. How many of you knows that's the Bible?
Yes.
And spiritual fornication, where they bring in things that's not from the Bible and they bring to preach it. And then they go further with it, they make it a doctrine. And remember, they've made a doctrine of something that's not the Word of God. So it can't be made a doctrine, but they made it. It's an abomination. It's hybrid in the Word. And it produces a mule. And a mule's a cross between a horse and a donkey. And it can't reproduce itself. How many know that can't do it? Can't do it. Because it's hybrid, it's not the original. But the Bible says you are born again of an incorruptible seed. And the true seed of God produces the true seed of God. Amen. Praise God. Let me read you this. God's church is free. God's church is bound by no boundaries, because from sea to sea is God's. Every human being under the earth belongs to Him. Whether he's been Catholic, Protestant, or whatever he is, God seeks those with an honest heart, and we are saved by faith, believing Him. That's the church. How simple is that? That's dead simple, but that's the truth. Praise God. And we're saved by faith, believing in Him. That's the church. Now you see, the church is not an organization. And every time you see organizations, just remember, Antichrist is written all over it. Here it is in the Bible. That's as plain as I know how to read it. I've got plenty of precious friends sitting here that belongs to organizations. And I don't say they're Antichrist. I'm not calling you that. But behind the whole thing, it looks like the devil has twisted it all up in such a way till you have to have something like that, or they won't even let you preach for them, and that's the truth. And I know people a long time, they run meetings and they run missions, and I know them over 20 years, and they've never ever once came to hear me preach once. But they would tell me about all the meetings they're having, but they would never come to hear me once. And I'll tell you back to that, some of them ring me for advice. And one of them rang me not so long ago, and he asked me a question, and I just quoted him from the Bible as quick as that. And he said to me, how did you get that so fast? And many of them, things go wrong in their organizations, they ring me. And what do you think about this? What do you think about that? And you have to tell them the truth, but they're still in there. Now there's good people in organizations. There's good people in all of them. You remember that now. But when God calls you out, why would you go back in? Amen. Stay clear. Touch not, handle not the unclean thing. Oh, but they're preaching the gospel. How much of it? What do they preach? You must be saved, all right? We could say amen. We believe that. We're not saying everything people preach is wrong. It's not. It's just like, listen, I'm going to tell you something. And this is actually the truth in that. If you went to a lot of end time message churches on a Sunday night, you would never know you needed to be saved. You could go on that night yourself. I wouldn't even waste my time to do it, by the way. I don't listen on that night.
No, no.
No, I listen. God's messenger, William Branham, and the Bible. I listen to the Bible. I love listening to the Bible. I'm reading the Bible. That's the best thing to listen to. Or property. But now there's men I would listen to. I'm not saying I've never listened to nobody. I would. I would read good stuff. I'd listen to good men. But I wouldn't go on there to listen, listen, listen up. But if you do, you test it and you tell me if I'm right. Some of them you'd never know you needed to see it. When you go on Sky to these modern preachers, and all you're going to hear about is money. That's a sermon. Money. They don't preach about repenting and getting saved. They preach about money. And a lot of people today, instead of preaching the message that God brought, they preach about the man God sent. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
Now, but George said, I'm not the light. I am not the light. Now we know that we give off light. We know that. We're the light of the world. In that sense, but we're not the actual light. Christ is the light. He said, I'm sent to bear witness of the light. Says, I baptize you water under repentance, but there's one coming after me whose shoe lots are not worthy to loose. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire.
Amen.
It's Christ we must preach. Now, Tony, this church, God calls this church out. Now, here's the first thing I want to tell you about this church tonight. It has a message. The true church has a message.
Amen.
And I tell you, it's simple. Repent.
Amen. Yes.
What's the message of true church? It's a message from Genesis that can prove it. Noah preached repentance.
Yes,
Jonah preached repentance. Book of Acts that preached repentance. Therefore, Acts 2:38. All through the Bible, the message of the true church is repent.
Amen.
But there's a lot today that say to the church and they don't preach repent.
No.
Some of the ministers, when they were interviewed, were asked, can you get to heaven without directly coming through Jesus? Well, I guess God's lots of one answer, twiddly piddly grammar. Now, I can tell you if a man asked me, can you get to heaven without saying of Christ, I'd say never.
Amen.
Jesus is the only way.
Amen.
No other way. Given under heaven. No other name. Under the whole of heaven. Accept the name of Jesus Christ. If a minister can't answer that, there's something wrong with him.
Right.
Whose minister is he? I tell you, that's the only way you can get. Repent. Billy Graham, a lot of them read him up, but I'll tell you one thing about Billy Graham. Go you and listen. Any sermon you want, Billy Graham, preach, go on ahead. Listen to anyone you want. I guarantee you, he preached you need to repent and believe in Christ. Guarantee you did. How many things are there? They forget all the things William Branham said about Billy Graham. Said Billy Graham for a purpose. Billy Graham's the world's greatest evangelist that ever lived. That's what he said. He said, Billy Graham's one of the messengers. One of the angelic messengers to Sodom. He had to go the way he go. He had to take it to who he took it to. Tell. He did exactly what God called him to do. But how many people want to say what he should do? But what are they doing? What are they doing? You have to do what God calls you to do. You might be misunderstood. It doesn't make no difference. You had to get on with it. Preach the gospel. Amen. So this church's message is repent. And I'll tell you, not only is this church's message repent, God called the church out and the Lord set the church up. No man organized. The church was not set up at 325 AD. That's the false church. But the real church began. Here it is. And it was inaugurated on the day of Pentecost. How many believe that? It began on the day of Pentecost with the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says the spoken tongues and the prophesy licks a fire rested in each one of them. That's the real Pentecost. Power of God. And I'll tell you one that didn't all collect round them for a holy huddle. The Bible says they feared them. Amen. They feared them. And they shook the towns. And they shook the cities. And they preached Jesus Christ. And they brought them in and gave them trophies. You don't read none of that. They brought them in and they laid stripes upon them. And they beat them. And they forbid them to preach the name of Jesus Christ. And they stood up with the boldness and said, whether it please men or not, or we're going to preach on the name of Jesus. But I'll tell you, when they come to the gate called Beautiful, the man crippled, they could raise him up. Because God was in the true church. God's only in the true church. Don't try to tell me that God's in the false church and God's in the real church. There's one God, one Spirit of God. You're baptized, if we read it or not, by one Spirit into one body. When you're really born again in the Spirit of God, the Lord's in you. You're part of it. Amen. Aren't you glad he put you in? Aren't you glad he's the head? Now he has true ministers. He's a fivefold ministry. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, teachers for the perfection of the saints, and 9 gifts of the Holy Ghost. That's all in the real church. Amen. And I'll tell you, the real church wants the whole Bible. They don't want no pages out. They want the whole thing. All of the Word. Eat the book. Didn't John say, eat the book, eat the scroll. Bitter in your mouth, or sweet in your mouth, bitter in your mouth. Eat it up. Sometimes it's a hard one, but you have to eat the Word of God. Isn't that right?
Yes, sir.
Amen. Christ set this church up. He's the king of this kingdom. When did he start it? Pentecost. Want you to get this? Write this down. The church began up the day of Pentecost. That's when the true church began. The church didn't begin in 325 AD. That's when the Nicene Council began. That's not the church. The church began at the day of Pentecost. When the Father said, tarry ye! Jesus said in the city of Jerusalem. But the promise came through the Joel prophet. And all the different prophets through the ages brought forth the promise of the Father. What was the promise of the Father? That he had poured out his Spirit upon them. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your old men dream dreams, your young men see visions. Upon my servants and upon my handmaidens, in those days, saith Almighty God, I will pour out of my Spirit glory to God. Hallelujah!
Amen.
Oh, for the Holy Ghost. Now, we can't come behind 2,000 years later and say we're part of the true church, but we don't need that. We can't preach that. If we're preaching that, we're organized. And I'll tell you another thing tonight. People say he can't be in the pulpit, and he can't be in the pulpit. And an SAC, everything like us, we wouldn't have them in the pulpit when you're nothing but a denomination.
Amen.
Do you realize that?
Amen.
Because William Branham says, once you organize and you do that, you're denomination. How many of you say that? Could you imagine Paul the Apostle coming along and them saying to him, now Paul, we don't just see things like you, so we won't have... That's what they did with Brother Brad. They closed him out. What about that man that preached, Forrest Smith? Forrest Smith came here, and I can tell you something. Forrest Smith seen people see him. They wouldn't let him in nowhere to last over here. And he had to go to a wee school. And Ederson Hood's brother helped him and got a wee school so they could preach in. And the numbers all ceased. Do you know why the numbers ceased? Not because the people didn't want to come. Because of false prophets and pulpits. Poisoned them. Against them. Said, we don't believe this bit that Barry Smith says and some other bit. I mightn't have believed all Barry Smith said either. But I don't want to hear him. Would you, Pat? Certainly would have. It'd have been here. I'd have told him to come on ahead. Would you? Who agrees with me tonight? Certainly would. He was a man of God. I tell you something, all this. I know people say you need to protect the pulpit, but I'm going to tell you one thing. People have took on a whole new level. They've poked the pulpit. There's protecting the pulpit and there's poking it. There's two different things now. How many agree with me here tonight? You never need to bring a card with you. What do you believe? We went on to your site. My dad can tell you all about it. We went on your site. You're a good preacher. But you didn't go into the things we believe. What was the things you believed? Well, there's a man that God has raised up. Not talking about William Branham, another man. This is another fellow. We're following him. Keep on following him. And following the Lord. Amen. Neither once you don't fall yarn, because you could build you a golden calf. Stick with Moses, he had the tablets. And the pillar of fire, a cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. Amen. And when he went, God, somebody asked Joshua, you'll take them over. Yeah. And William Branham said, Joshua leads you over the day. And he says, Joshua is a type of the Holy Ghost. How many knows each other? Amen. Amen. And the Holy Ghost leads us over. The Lord set this church up. Look at Luke 24, verse 49. I'm going to close in a moment. Luke 24, verse 49. When did the church begin? Pentecost. I tell you, it's not it. How could you say that we're not Pentecostal? You're denying the very thing that the church started with. If you're a real believer and an end time believer, that you're a Pentecostal. How many believes that? No, I do believe in the message, the right message. I believe. But I don't believe the messages. As in, I don't mean William Branham's messages, I mean the messages out round. Like a brother preached when he said, all the voices. You know the voice? The voices? This is the way you have to hear. This is the way you have to hear. This is the way you have to hear here. One voice. Jesus says, one voice. One true voice. Luke 24, verse 49. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. Acts 1 verse 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be my witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and unto Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. You're going to be a witness when the Holy Ghost comes on you. Amen. Did you ever notice people have no desire today for evangelism? Go back to this verse. Are you following? Are you getting this? People have no interest in the lost. Back to this verse. And ye shall receive power. And look at the latter part of the verse. And ye shall be my witnesses when you receive the power. Now if you don't get it, they'll do nothing. They'll become a lodge. You'll have a few aquarium keepers looking on you now and again. See how you're doing. Give you a bit of goldfish food over the top of the tank. God never called us to be aquarium keepers. God called us to be fishers of men. Amen. That's why if you get a chance, take it. Don't wait for another one. Take the one you're getting. How many believes that? You're a witness. God's given you the Holy Ghost to be a witness. A kingdom witness of his coming and witness of his power. Ephesians 1:22. And to put all things under his feet and give him to be the head over all things, the church. I'm glad I'm in the real church, you not. Amen. I'm not talking about any name. It's not a mega ministry either. It's not end time fellowship or all the different names. I appreciate all them names, appreciate all them things. I'm not talking about none of that. The true church is the people that's born into it. Amen. Universal. It's everywhere. Australia, New Zealand, here, England, south of Ireland, Australia, Africa. The church of God's everywhere. Mystical body of Jesus Christ. Who set the church up? Jesus Christ. No bishop, but Jesus Christ spoke his kingdom. Ephesians 1:22. In a variety, he's put all things under his feet. Look at Colossians 1:17-18. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. It's the very text James McCall preached tonight, and Philip could see it. Here it is. Colossians 1, verse 17-18. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning of the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Not standing at the door knocking, can I come in? He wants the preeminence. He wants to be in full control. Amen. Let me read you this. Now we see in a witness, in Acts 1:8, he said, you shall receive the witness of the Holy Ghost has come on you. What is the church? The mystic body of Christ. Who set it up? The Lord Jesus Christ. It wasn't set up in Rome, neither was it set up in England by John Wesley. Neither was it set up by Calvin in America, the Baptist John Smith. Neither was it set up in California by the Pentecostals. It was set up by Jesus Christ, the King of the Messianic Kingdom. That's who it was that set up it. The king, he wants to be the king. He wants to rule. He wants to be Lord. And William Rowland didn't set it up with you. Be quiet, he won't. That's the truth.
Amen.
He never set it up. He was a minister in it. He's part of it. But he never set it up. He's a messenger. He's part of it. And all them things are the truth. And we believe that. But he never set it up. You can wear a t-shirt with his name on it and be lost.
Amen.
How many know that?
Amen.
There's people doing it today.
Amen.
They're baptizing in a sea. They're saying he's their true God. Well, he's not my God.
Amen.
I appreciate him as a prophet, as a servant of God. But Jesus Christ, my God and my Lord.
Amen.
William Branham would rebuke every one of us here. He'd agree with what I'm saying.
Amen.
How many knows he would? Certainly would. He couldn't do nothing different. It's the truth. He's God's messenger. That proves they don't really see him or know him as a messenger. They don't believe his message. They're not doing what he said to do. Because he said, I point you to Christ. And he says, don't baptize in any name only his. He fought it hard and let it down. We heard this morning in the scenes how these things come back. Now God doesn't change his mind about his word. But it's out there. One moment, just a few moments and I'm closing. And I told you this message, this church is repentance. Matthew 28:19. Here's the favorite verse. And this is a good verse.
Amen.
Don't you think this is not a good verse? This is some verse.
Yes, sir.
Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Teach them.
Yes.
Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 20. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. So when you hear what the Lord says, you better take attention.
Yes.
And listen to it carefully and study it.
Amen.
That's what he's saying.
Amen.
Don't flip it over like we heard this morning. When God gives you a word, study that word.
Yes.
Go over it. Listen to it. You're to be taught it. The Bible says you're to be taught it. And you're to observe it.
Amen.
Amen. Lo, I'm with you always. Praise God. Unto the end of the world. John 14:12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these will he do, because I go unto my Father.
Amen.
And I tell you, the Lord's still working the day. Amen. Who was it that healed my ear last week? The Lord. The Lord done it. If you have been healed, it's the Lord healed you.
Amen.
The Lord done it.
Amen.
He's still the same. It's never changed. I'll tell you, it's the Lord. I'm going to have to close. The time's gone. You know, I preached this a few weeks ago when you know I had to preach for a brother. The Lord really helped me. And I preached generally this when I'm preaching tonight. And a fella came afterward and he said, where are you coming back? I need to hear the next part of it. Because I said I didn't get all finished tonight what I wanted to say. I didn't want to keep them, you know, too long. And I must have preached an hour and a half, to be honest with you. And I don't usually preach an hour and a half. But people were touched. Because God's word touches you. Let's stand our feet. How are you feeling tonight? God bless you. Know what Samuel preached last week? Lift up the hands and hang down. Lift them up. I'll tell you, the real word of God, doesn't it lift you? Lifts you up. Amen? Jesus Christ is a healer. If you need a touch tonight, why don't you say it if you're catching a healing? Amen? Confess your mouth to catch the healing. Now I'm a bit stiff in the back tonight with lifting a lot of stuff, moving and things. I'm not injured, I'm just stiff. But I'm catching the healing in it as well.
Yeah.
Tell you, I'm believing it.
Yeah.
That God's going to do it.
Yeah.
You know the devil will tell you, I'll tell you what he'll tell you. He said, but you're getting older now. You can expect these things. You ever hear? You can expect to be like that, not you're older. You can expect to be like that. It's not going to get better. You'll get worse before you get better. That's his sermon. But I want to tell you, we believe the Pentecost. after the day of Pentecost. Oh, praise God. The former treaties have I made unto thee, O Theophilus. Of all that Jesus spoke, began to do and teach. He began. What Jesus began is still going. Jesus began the book of Acts. It's not really the Acts of the Apostles. It's the Acts of the Holy Ghost in the Apostles. And what Jesus began is continuing today. And you know, when they came to the gate called Beautiful, was a man there lame. And they said, "Silver and gold have we none, but such as we have." What had they? They had the name of Jesus. The name that's above every name, the name of Jesus. Said, "We give it unto you. We give it unto you." And I'll tell you, he leaped in. If God can make a man that's lame rise up and walk, God can touch me and God can touch you. Let's lift our hands up and close our eyes tonight before God. Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you tonight. Your word is the truth. Your word's a liberator. Your word's a freer from bondage and sedition. Lord, you've called us out. You've called us in. And you're calling us up. Come up hither. For the bride saith, "Come hither." Lord Jesus, we believe your word. The Spirit and the bride saith, "Come." Even so, come Lord Jesus. Lord, you promised that where two or three of us is gathered together in your name, that you would be in the midst, not to bless. Lord, I come against back pain tonight. I command the back pain to go in the name of Jesus Christ. All pains to leave your people tonight. I come against it. Devil, you're a liar. I come against the spirit of infirmity. I rebuke the spirit of infirmity in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Lord, you said you've given the spirit of love and truth to the sound man. Amen. That's your word, Lord. We believe your word. Lord, your word says, "By your stripes we are healed." Yes. We believe your word tonight. Loose your people. Let the oil of the Holy Ghost go through our bones tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Lord, will you fill us afresh, every one of us. Baptize us afresh with the Holy Ghost. Let the power of God come on us. Lord, we want to be like the book of Acts. We want to be the people that you want us to be, Lord. For you're the God that you say you are. Lord, you've never changed. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. You are what you said you are. We are what you said we are. You can do what you said you can do. We can do what you told us we can do. Lord, your word says we can do all things through Jesus Christ that strengthens us. Fall upon your people tonight by the power of the Holy Ghost. Loose the gifts of spirit amongst us, Lord. Loosen men and women's tongues tonight. Lord, I pray for those who want a confirmation. Let them speak in a heavenly language. Let the power of God come on them so much, Lord, that they'll overflow with their lips and they'll praise you in tongues of men and tongues of angels. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Give us a Pentecost here tonight, Lord, I pray. Lord, I know all hell's against it, but you're for it, Lord. Lord, you promised upon your servants, upon your handmaidens, you would pour out of your spirit in the last days. We're in the last days. We want the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit. Give us more of the Holy Ghost, we pray. Empty us of all sin and self and fill us with your power, with your glory, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Let the glory of God come in this room. In Jesus' name, I pray. Let the cloud come down. Let the power of God come down, Lord. Lord, we know that we heard this morning when your prophet preached. He said, "Lord, if I preach the truth, let the same God that wrote the word come forth now and confirm it." Lord, you're still the same God tonight. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. Lord, confirm your own word this night, I pray, in the name of Jesus Christ. You are the head of the church. The message is repentance. The church began at Pentecost. Lord, we're glad to be part of the real church tonight. Oh God, liberate us. Free us. Bring us out of any sleep we're in tonight, Lord. Lift the scales off. Fill us with the Spirit. Let the oil of joy come upon your people. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. And oh God, give us a spirit of stickability. Lord, if we have stick it on, then we'll keep on keeping on. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Lord, I ask for the backslidden tonight. Oh Lord, let the Holy Ghost go out upon them. Let the Spirit of God move upon them. Speak to them and woo them. And draw them unto yourself. You love the backslider. Lord, your word says you're forever married to the backslider. You won't put them away. Lord, bring them back, we pray, in the name of Jesus. Lord, refresh and renew every one of us. Lord, and with appreciate our first love. You're our first love, Lord. We love you tonight, Lord Jesus, because you first loved us. Lord, when the devil had us tied up and twisted up, and the voice said, I love you and give myself for you. That's your word, Lord. That's your truth. God so loved the world. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for your love tonight. Let us feel your love. Let us know your love. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Father, I pray now as the song leader comes, Lord, to worship and praise you, that you'll bless us as the word's watered in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. God bless each one as our brother Gary comes.
Yeah. Holy Spirit, born in me.
Amen.